Visiting in the new normal is our way to connect with the people and organizations around the region to find out how the pandemic has affected their lives. The pandemic has affected live performance experiences in a big way over the last year. Theaters have been empty, venues have been closed, galleries have held off on celebratory events. Places like the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork have seen very little activity this year. But a group of thinkers put their minds together. They came up with a way for the Edge Center to engage with its audiences. It's a short film that is called The Missing Link and will be available to the public starting tomorrow. Here to tell us more about it are producers Val Connor and Michaela Raymond. Good morning, Val and Michaela. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Heidi. Thanks for having us. Hi, John.
Hi.
And good morning. Thanks for having us. I'm going to hang up so we can not get feedback here.
Okay. Before we get started, we're going to play a little snippet of the film and have you two explain what is going on after we listen.
So,
Look, isn't that officer reflective?
I think so, yes. You're right. Hey. Hey, that's that new Schwinn at the police department just bought.
Oh, so this must be on an official call he has.
Man, look at him go. He's really flying.
Hey, going lickety-split.
They should call that bike a flyer, because that one is flying.
There you go.
He must be on one of them hot calls where, like, the double parking last week.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah. When that guy went in and was convicted, they fined him two times.
I would assume so, absolutely.
I wonder where he's headed.
Well, let's take a look. What did we just listen to there in The Missing Link? Are you still with us?
Since I was driving the car, I'll give the answer on that.
But watch out for the stop sign now.
Oh, no. All right, Valerie, you tell the story then.
Just the observers are noticing that the detective is pedaling his way to the Edge Center, and we're just curious about what's going on. You know, the police don't get a lot of calls up at Big Fork there. So we're just curious and seeing what's going to happen.
We're the town busybodies.
Yeah, well, that's the observance, yeah.
So you're into everybody's business, kind of?
Well, we were just innocently driving around, you know, with the COVID and whatnot. There's not much to do.
Yeah. So how did this idea to do an original film get off the ground?
Well, last summer we were invited to a meeting of basically the board or part of the board and other interested people. And they wanted to do something to keep the acting company involved and also to let our patrons know that we're still around and thinking of them and trying to connect. And then we did some brainstorming. Michaela and I had a heads up of what was going to happen at the meeting, and we kind of came up with some basic ideas for
the group to take and run with.
And they said, you know, that's a good idea. Go right ahead. And we have just taken over the producer duties. Kathy Champeau has served that way for a number of years and moved to South Carolina. And so this is our first adventure as producers. And we ended up with being writers, directors, producers, and then they blame us when things go wrong. We really just had fun with it and kind of brainstormed and continued to refine the whole plot as time went on.
We can tell that you're veterans of the acting phase. Well, tell us a little bit about your history in acting and more specifically with the Edge Center Theater.
All right, this is Michaela. About 40 years ago, I'm a grown adult. About 40 years ago. I got an offer. This was a time I was living in the state of Wyoming. A artistic director approached me from a theater, and she threw out the idea that I would be a good Curly for the musical Oklahoma. I had sung in her church choir a few times, and she was earmarking certain people. I told her, no, I can't do that. You know, I used to sing at weddings and funerals, but getting up on a stage with an audience was frightening, and I told her I can't do it. She thought, you come to rehearsal, you can do it. Okay, to cut to opening night, I'm backstage waiting for my entrance. The overture is just winding down. The music starts to play the song, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, which is Curly's entrance. I was shaking in my boots, literally. I was wearing cowboy boots. My role there called for me to pick a saddle up, put it on my shoulder, come strolling in and be a very macho cowboy. I did that. I started singing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, Oh, What a Beautiful Day. And the audience appeared enamored and focused. And then the banter started with Ann Eller and Lori, this sweet-looking girl that I was kind of courting in the play. Once I heard the audience respond vocally with laughter and applause, I was hooked. Here I am 40 years later. I'll never play Curly again. I'd be his grandfather, I imagine. But it's still exciting.
And, you know, she's played a lot of musical theater, both and beyond that, in Indiana when we were living near Wabash, and then has done a few things up here. Man of La Mancha a few years ago at the Reich, playing Cervantes, and then a number of things at the Edge. My experience tends to be more backstage. I have done a few things on stage, and a lot of it, I started out teaching high school English, and therefore I had to direct plays. I had no idea what I was doing, so I just did it. And then later in my career, I had an erratic schedule and couldn't be involved. But now that we're retired, I've done a number of things at the Edge Center, primarily working backstage as deck manager and property manager and stage manager, a few of the, those things.
The play is the movie is a mystery, The Missing Link, but it becomes a bit of a show in terms of all the ways that the Edge Center serves the community. Let's talk about the writing process a little bit. How did you weave all of that in?
Well, actually, you know, we've already talked about how we originally came up with the plot, but once we had the idea that it was set, it was a mystery and it was set in the physically in the theater, it just came naturally that you have a mystery, you have to investigate things, and that involves interviewing people, so then it just the different people that would normally be around.
And the structure that we set up, each volunteer person that was present in the theater when this mystery occurred, they were all doing their little thing in their little area, so we were able to satisfy the necessary things to protect everyone against COVID. And that was theatrical distancing. And, of course, you can't do that if you have large groups. So the play moves around in the theater and outside the theater as the mystery is investigated and the farcical actions occur, along with informative stuff.
We're talking with Val Connor and Michaela Raymond. They wrote and produced a film called The Missing Link that will be available for public viewing beginning tomorrow. There's a voice that's very common to KAXE KBX. His name is Jack Nackbar. What role is he playing in this?
Jack, he could play anything. He's just a natural talent. Jack plays himself, and he plays it better than anybody could. Jack is the movie master or the classic movie person at the theater, and he shows classic movies and does background on them routinely. But now, obviously, couldn't do that. We built Jack into the script knowing that he would take the script we gave him and put more meat on it and stay within his character, and he's a wonderful man.
And that's the kind of thing we have asked. We asked all of the cast members to do. The script was a skeleton. We asked them to flesh out their individual characters and roles, which they did. Some of them did over and above what anyone could imagine they would probably do. And Jack was one of those people.
What was it like putting the movie together, editing, and how did everything go?
Well, we took this role on. We said, sure, we can video it. We can edit it. We had no clue how we were going to do it, but we have faith in many ways in life, and we had faith that we would somehow work this out. We videoed the first scene, which is actually the last scene in the play. We videoed that with a cell phone to get it in the can because Valerie and Michaela were not going to be able to follow through from scene one through scene 9 or 10, how many we have. I had to have surgery at the University of Minnesota right in the middle of this, actually near the beginning. So we did by telephone and text, et cetera, sort of direct from afar, but we gave a lot of license.
And then we had a total godsend. Eric Wolfson, who's on the board and also appears in the film, film being an archaic term, offered to do the editing. He had taken a course in college and had some idea of what he was doing.
And we said, "Go, wow, really?" So we grabbed on to Elliot.
And just like everyone else involved, just took the task and ran with it.
Brian Boone, the mayor of Big Fork, everybody would know Brian based on that. No, he's a great guy, and he's a minister at a local church up there. Brian assisted with the video once they got the video equipment together, and he's a very creative individual as well as Elliot. We couldn't have done it without them.
What was your sense of people being able to do something creative, even if it wasn't like it used to be right now, since we're in this new normal?
Anything, you know, artists, when they get together, I call us artists. We, I guess we are, but we don't profess to be great artists. But we're artists. Artists want to produce art. And the longer it goes in between, the more frustrated I think the artist gets. Everybody from top down, artistic director down to the curtain puller wants to get back to live theater. But this is what we developed. It was fun doing, and it's growing rapidly. We're now purchasing more refined equipment to be able to put on
more
audio,
refined production,
make more movies.
And do other things. And one of the things that we should mention, we were able to get a grant from the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, and part it was for working artists. And we said, well, we were working at being artists, and we designated the money to go for upgrading the equipment because we borrowed some cameras and just kind of patchworked everything together. And so we're in the works of getting a little more sophisticated equipment.
So out of this terrible thing that we're living with, we found some way to manage it and bring some pluses out of it, and that's expand our horizons.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have noticed a lot of public support. Mike Koshin of the grocery store owner needs to have a particular shout out because he was very cooperative in lending his
turned his store over for us.
His store and his name and so forth.
And a couple of scenes are shot in the store.
And he and also the fact that we are providing this free, but we are willing to accept donations, and that can be done through the website.
Well, it sounds like you
the theater, not Mike Koshin.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you two have the personality to get through a pandemic. That is for sure.
Well, we weren't sure at the start that it was going to last long. We figured 2 weeks and we'd be out socializing on the golf course. That changed. And finally, someone said, hey, let's do something. You know, it's like the old Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland movies. Hey, my uncle's got a barn and we can use it. And they put on a Broadway musical.
There we go. Even if that's a virtual barn, you're making it happen. That's Val Connor and Michaela Raymond. You can watch The Missing Link beginning tomorrow, March 19th. Go to edgecenterarts.org/movie. There'll also be a link there on how you can donate. This has been Visiting in the New Normal, and this segment made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Val, Michaela, we're going to listen to a little bit of Vera Lynn now. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.